Blog Talk Radio.
To Watford, three on the way. Oh! It went in! It went in! And Indiana wins the ball game. Christian Watford with a three.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
This is Indiana. Yeah, we do it big. Boston on the Big Ten. You know what it is.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another episode of the Assembly Call as Indiana drops its opening Big Ten game of the season today, 83-80 to Illinois in Champaign. It was a wonderfully exciting game. It was tied at 39-39 at the half. Each team scored 32 points in the second half, descended to overtime, and Illinois was 3 points better than the Hoosiers in that overtime period, 12-9, and they end up with a three-point victory. It was a game where Indiana shot 50% from three-point range and knocked in 10 three-pointers, which helped to offset a season-high 22 turnovers, at least according to the box score that I'm looking at right now. And it featured Yogi Ferrell scoring a career-high 30 points. He knocked down 5 three-pointers, and I think everyone would agree that his swagger, his confidence, really helped this young team, you know, play relatively well in a hostile environment in their first road game. Look, this is Indiana, and we expect to win these games, and we should expect to win these games. And you know, we're going to get in today and, you know, and talk about some of the reasons why this game was lost. You know, obviously the turnover, some coaching decisions. I know Andy has some hot sports opinions on some of the moves that the coaches made. You know, but I think Indiana competed today. The kids played really hard. They played with poise. You know, frankly, they played a little bit better today than I expected. You know, and so, you know, as we look at the banner moment, kind of taking something positive from this loss, you know, Indiana at the very end of regulation ends this game with a possession and a chance to win. Frankly, I did not think we'd be in this position, you know. And, you know, just knowing the house of horrors that Champaign has been, knowing how young we are, you know, having watched the team play and somewhat meltdown against Notre Dame, I think there are some positives to take from this game. But it certainly hurts not getting this win, because this was a winnable game for Indiana. And I think, you know, again, we talked about the Notre Dame game at the end of the season. As we're looking back on this team's tournament chances, this could be the kind of game that you look at and you say, man, we really needed to get that win. It was there for the taking. And so we'll talk about some of the reasons why the Hoosiers didn't get that win today. So with that said, let me bring in my co-host today, Andy Bottoms. Ryan, I don't think he's going to be able to join us. He's having some physical therapy on his back, so send him some good wishes. But Andy is here. We may have a little bit of an abbreviated show, so we'll try and get to all our points really quickly. Let me go to Andy and get his Bottoms line on today's IU loss to Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, I'll attempt to stay positive here at the beginning at least. I thought that Yogi was outstanding. You know, 6 turnovers it looks like from what I'm looking at. But I think with as much as he was asked to do, I think to a certain extent that's going to be understandable. I mean, it felt like every time they needed a big shot, you know, he was able to hit it a couple times pulling up in transition and really seemed locked in, shot the ball really well, hit 5 threes. Had 4 assists, although I feel like a lot of those came in the first half, I'm not sure, but even had 5 rebounds, which was probably close to a high for him this season. I just thought he was great to go on the road, score 30 points and really keep the team in the game when they, you know, couldn't couldn't help themselves from turning them all over, I thought was really outstanding and arguably one of the better games he's played, not just because he scored 30 points, but I just thought he really seemed in control, did a lot of nice things, and definitely he was the bright spot from my perspective. There were a few others, but he was the one that kind of, the star that shone brighter than the rest tonight.
So, Andy, you know, let's get into some of the decisions at the end of the game that I think a lot of people are going to want to talk about. And it, folks, if you do want to call in at 646-716-6360, we want to start taking calls for at least probably another half hour, at least putting you on the air. We don't have a call screener, so I'm just going to have to put you on there, so make sure you have a good point. But feel free to call in and get on the line here if you want to. You know, Andy, you had some tweets during the game. There's some decisions you didn't like, some decisions we all didn't like. You know, Noah being out for so long at the end of regulation. Perhaps not, you know, I didn't have as huge a problem with not taking a timeout at the end of regulation as some did. You know, I thought we ended up getting a decent shot, but certainly, you know, you kind of like to have that ball in Yogi's hands. You know, and some decisions there in overtime where, you know, where Stan Robinson got the ball, where maybe there's something better to do there. So give me your assessment of, you know, kind of the late game coaching from the Hoosiers.
I would say poor to quite poor would be my assessment of the coaching down the stretch. I mean, in all seriousness, I'm sure that reading back through my timeline as I'm doing now probably is like the rantings of a madman. But, I mean, there were definitely times on the stretch. You know, I didn't really understand, like, taking Vonleh out that late with four fouls. I mean, to me, he needed to be in the game. The offense had looked so bad when he was out in the second half. You know, and we can talk about the implications of not having Luke Fisher and things like that, but the reality was that Perea's not a post-up player at this stage in his development, and when they didn't have Vonleh in the game, the offense really bogged down because there was nothing to open up anything on the perimeter for guys, and so I didn't really understand that. I thought there were multiple opportunities to get him in the game, even at dead ball situations, even if you don't want to take the timeouts, which we can, you know, was another, you know, point of contention. If you don't want to take the timeouts, I mean, there were dead balls where, you know, in the middle of free throws, he could have come back in, because to go that many possessions, I mean, IU scored, you know, one basket in the last 11 minutes or whatever it was. I just retweeted something that somebody had sent out. And it just didn't make any sense just to not even have him on the floor as a threat that Illinois has to account for. I mean, there was a time, I think it was at the under four timeout when like four new guys came in, and understandably things had been a little ragged during that stretch there, and people had been on the floor for a long time. They'd gone a long time without a dead ball. But to me, you've got that timeout. You might as well use that media timeout to let guys get rested up. And if you want to swap out a couple guys, fine. But at that point, they had Robinson in, who was off the charts, irrational confidence toward the end of the game in terms of just, you know, putting the ball on the floor and going to the basket. And good things happened a couple times, but not necessarily. It wasn't pretty. You had Etherington out there who didn't even look at the basket. And you're basically playing 5-on-3 at that point offensively when you weren't doing that good offensively with your better players out there. And so I thought that was pretty bad. I thought at the end of regulation you could tell that play was going awry. And I felt like that felt like the chance to win. I didn't like IU's chances with that getting to overtime. You know, on the road, things had really not gone well lately. I felt like you had to find a way to win it in regulation. And when things aren't going well, to me, you got to step in and do something there. And then, you know, similarly, you know, Sheehy was out of the game a lot toward the end. And I'll be the first one to tell you, he wasn't very aggressive in the second half either. But he made some really big plays in the first half. He's one of the only guys on the team that has any experience in these kind of situations. And I didn't – it would be one thing if the other guys that were on the floor had really outplayed him. But at that point, I don't think Williams had outplayed him. Hollowell came in at some point. He certainly hadn't outplayed him and then got the ball right away and turned it over. Robinson, I didn't feel like it outplayed him. And if nothing else, I thought she at least could, you know, be somebody on the defensive end or on the glass that could help. I didn't understand that. Gordon, it felt like he was out for a while after that timeout. And you know, to me, at least in the first half, there were four guys that stood out over everybody else, and those guys had to play the bulk of the minutes in the second half. And for stretches, it seemed like that happened, but not, you know, when it mattered the most. It actually seemed like, and I'm sure I'll torture myself and go through this tomorrow, that Crean stuck with some of these lineups a little bit longer in the first part of the half. And then when it came down to crunch time, when that seems even more important, you know, putting in some of these guys, you know, ice cold off the bench, just did not make a lot of sense to me at all. So that was probably longer than you wanted, but I probably even missed some stuff too as I'm looking over this. But it was definitely some questionable things down the stretch. And, you know, I think a game that was winnable, and there are not going to be a lot of winnable road games for this team in the Big Ten, I felt like they let it get away from them.
Yeah. No, that's, like I said, that's a frustrating thing. You know, you can, there are positives to take from this, you know, and even just as I was talking during the intro, you know, you start saying the positives and you're like, damn, you know, like you said, there are not going to be that many winnable road games. And this was one that was there for the taking. You know, Indiana was up, I think, 59-52 or 59-51. And the lesson, as always, is never trust a lead in Champaign, apparently, because, you know, no matter how big that lead is, you know, it's going to dissipate at some point. Here's an important question, I think, Andy, because, look, you know, we lost. I thought we were going to lose worse than this. I didn't think the game would be winnable at the end like it was. So you can take a positive from that, even though you still lose. But, you know, my question is this performance from Indiana, is this going to be representative of what we see, or did we really cost ourselves an opportunity when we played a little bit over our heads? And I want to look at some of the numbers to kind of frame this because, you know, Indiana's been a good rebounding team, right? And we did a pretty good job, you know, rebounding. I mean, we out-rebounded them just the raw numbers, 41-28, and the percentages were good. You know, turnovers, we've seen this team turn the ball over a lot, and we did it again today, 22, 23 turnovers, depending on what box score you look at. You know, all game long we were turning it over about a 30% clip. You know, and that's even more than this team has done, and still we had a chance to win. You know, the one kind of outlier statistic is the three-point shooting, 10 of 20 from three-point range. We know that's not going to be, you know, a game-to-game thing, but the free-throw shooting, 24 of 30, that's something Indiana's done. I mean, did we see this team play over its head today and still lose, or is this the kind of performance that, you know, that we can, outside of the three-point shooting, you know, that we can kind of expect and build upon?
I feel like a little bit of both, actually. I mean, on the one hand, as you said, it's completely implausible to think that this team is going to shoot that well from three-point range in too many of these games. And so I think that's one thing that will, you know, will come back to earth. I do think you look at free throws, you know, getting to the line 30 times compared to 56 field goal attempts is a really good rate. The rebounding, you know, numbers and percentages look fairly good. Gave up a couple big offensive rebounds there at the end and a couple times at the beginning of the game as well. But overall, felt like that was still a strength. But the turnovers are, I mean, there's no indication that that's going away. And, you know, 11 assists on 23 made baskets, I mean, not a terrible ratio, I guess, but just not a team that's typically gotten, you know, a lot of assists. And you know, you also look at Illinois, they shot 2 of 17, I think, from 3, which they don't even come into the game being a great three-point shooting team, but you're not going to hold too many people to that kind of percentage. So I think that's another factor. They did, you know, comparatively a really good job taking care of the ball, you know, only 10 turnovers. So you got a lot of leeway to miss shots when you end up with, you know, essentially 14 more possessions than the other team because you didn't turn it over. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think to a certain extent the team, I think there was more about this game that I would say is indicative of how they're going to play than it wasn't. I think the turnovers are going to be there, the rebounding is going to be there, and the shooting's not going to be there. So you kind of take that away. I guess I don't feel great about it. I didn't really expect to win the game coming in either, but certainly was one that felt more winnable than some of the other road games that are out there. So I think a little bit of both, but you don't see, I mean, the turnovers, that's just felt like at the beginning of the game was pretty good. And then it just feels like the team makes bad plays in these short flurries that are just one right after the other, after the other, after the other. And it just, you know, that contributes to the roller coaster. I tweeted about it and I noticed it a couple times. It's just one thing right after the other. There's no, okay, I made a bad play, let's just forget about it and move on. I'm going to go make it back. It's, okay, well, we're going to make three other bad plays right after this. And it just, you know, it's easy for things to snowball. And they don't have the firepower in most cases to really come back against that, I think. And that's just turnovers. It seemed like those just came in bunches where, you know, two times in a row you don't even get the ball past half court, stuff like that. I think that's what really I kind of noticed more today, and maybe it's something I just either didn't pay attention to or didn't notice very well, but it's just the poor plays are just in succession in these quick bursts, that really turn the game, that either kill IU's momentum or give the other team this, you know, flurry of activity and good momentum on the other side.
Yeah. Well, remember, everybody, you can go chat, btownbanners.com/chat. They have a live chat going over there talking about this game. Give us a call, 646-716-6360. In about 10, 15 minutes, we'll start putting some of you on the air just to see what you have to say about this game. Let's talk a little bit about some individual performances, Andy. Obviously, Yogi's is the one that stands out. He was outstanding. You know, you can forgive some of the 6 turnovers because he really had to put this team on his back, you know, and shoot 2 or 3 of those turnovers came in one of those just, you know, 90 to 120-second, you know, sequences where you're just like, what the hell did we just watch? You know, I mean, he had a couple of those, but overall it was great. You know, Will, I thought, played well in the first half and kind of disappeared in the second half. I thought, you know, Noah's performance was very notable in the first half for how he scored. You know, he only made 2 field goals the whole game. Noah had 16 points, only made 2 field goals. Both of them were 3-pointers. And it was really interesting, the confidence level that he was stepping out and taking those threes in the first half. And I saw tweets from a couple people. Apparently, after he made one of those threes, I guess Crean turned to the bench, kind of pumped his fist and said, there's our 3-point shooter, boys. Which, you know, I mean, I'm as excited about Noah shooting threes as anybody, but I don't know that we want to go that far. You know, but I thought him, you know, kind of showing that multidimensional aspect, you know, can only help this team in the half court. You know, he rebounded well with 9. He blocked shots. He had 4 blocked shots. You know, now he made some freshman plays at the end, you know, the lane violation and turning the ball over after the rebound. And, you know, so he didn't play as well in the second half as the first half, but again, he's a freshman. You know, the pressure ratcheted up. He didn't necessarily answer the bell, but I thought in the first half, he really kept Indiana in the game early because Indiana, you know, 22, 23 turnovers, 9 or 10 of those were in the first 10, 12 minutes of the game. And I thought we stayed in the game early because Noah Vonleh played like a superstar. And then, you know, Yogi kind of took the baton and then, you know, started carrying it forward and kept the team in the game. But overall, for the most part, I was really impressed with what Noah did today.
Yeah, it's funny. I just realized he didn't make a 2-point shot in the game today.
No.
You know, I think that's something to be obviously a little bit concerned about. But I do think, you know, there were definitely stretches in the first half when he played really well. And I think you'd see the glimpses of greatness with some of the rebounding in traffic and really some of the defensive plays where he really bailed guys out who were overly aggressive on the outside and kind of cleaned things up at the basket, which I think is something that the team needs to do a little bit better job of, just being more aggressive on the offense and then knowing you've got, you know, guys like him and Perret and Williams who can, you know, help atone for some of those mistakes on the back end. Definitely was really strong rebounding, and I think the youth really shows. And you know, he got baited into that lane violation essentially. You know, him and Egwu were going at it a little bit on the first free throw, and then I think Egwu just kind of like, you know, pulled the rug out from under him or whatever, you know, whatever you want to say, let him just fall into the lane. And I think the same thing on that charge call late in the game. You know, he didn't get position inside, so he faces him up, and you just knew as soon as you put the ball on the floor, he's going to spin back or do something to lower his shoulder, and he's going to call for a charge. And you know, I think it's those little plays, the first foul he got in the game, just trying to kind of reach over somebody, you know, playing defense from behind. I think, you know, as he eliminates more and more of those, he's just going to get better and better. But I do think we saw, again, a little bit of the case with him where, you know, he's going to struggle to get, you know, consistently good post position, you know, as he, you know, against some of these more physical guys in the conference. I think you saw that today. I mean, really only ended up with 3, you know, 2-point attempts. You know, took 3 threes and 3 twos. Obviously got to the line a lot, and I think that's something he'll continue to do better at. And I think if nothing else, you know, like I said before, the offense was so much better with him on the floor. You know, he really, you know, created more space for a guy like Evan Gordon to be able to, you know, run off screens and guys can't, you know, chase out at him quite so quickly. I thought he opened up a few of his shots and, you know, similar to a couple of the jumpers that Sheehy hit there. And obviously, you know, doing any kind of screen roll with him and Yogi puts the defense in a pretty tough position. So I thought overall his game was pretty good. I you know, you can't fault him for some of the things about whether he should have been on the floor or not, things like that. But I thought overall he was good. I think he just has to continue to, you know, work at getting in position in the post and, you know, trying to do more damage down there initially instead of trying to beat people off the dribble.
Yeah, the two other guys in the starting lineup that we haven't mentioned yet are Jeremy Hollowell and Troy Williams. And I thought Troy has been really up and down. I liked what he did today, especially early. You know, I don't think he contributed as much in the second half, but I thought early, you know, he was Troy Williams doing Troy Williams things. You know, he was active. You know, he made a nice drive to the basket. He played within himself. You know, I thought maybe, you know, the 1 3-pointer he took was maybe forced, but I thought otherwise. I mean, he was 4 for 7 from the field. He didn't contribute a lot in the counting stats. He had 1 assist, 1 block, you know, 4 boards. But I thought he was efficient in his minutes out there and was active and played within himself, whereas we've seen him try to do too much sometimes. And to contrast that with Jeremy Hollowell, who, you know, again, Hollowell is just a guy that we don't know what to expect. And today, you know, despite a couple of good performances in you know, some of Indiana's previous games, he was an offensive black hole. He had 0 points. He was 0 of 6 from the field. You know, he took a couple threes that barely glazed the iron. He did have 6 boards. He did have 3 assists. But he also had 4 turnovers. And, you know, I just, you know, and defensively, I don't think really contributed a whole lot. Maybe you saw something different. But, you know, I thought there was a pretty stark contrast between those two guys because I thought Williams played within himself and was efficient, and I thought Jeremy Hollowell tried to do too much and just wasn't able to contribute anything on the offensive end. And in a game where you lose by 3 on the road, you know, when one of your more experienced guys does that, it really hurts you.
Yeah, I would agree with what you said. I mean, Williams made a couple plays, you know, that – you know, where he's just kind of overly aggressive or a little bit out of control. But overall, I thought he did a good job and, you know, probably earned some more play time, at least, you know, in my estimation. He made a big, you know, he made a nice cut to the middle of the floor. I think it was, trying to look back at the, you know, play-by-play, I think Illinois had cut the lead to 1, and he kind of cut right through the middle of the zone, got the ball, quickly went up and made a shot that I thought was a pretty big shot at the time, really kind of stemmed the tide a little bit for him, and I thought that, you know, made some nice plays. You know, took a couple shots where you're like, eh. But overall, I think he's going to make mistakes that are more out of effort, I guess, than of, you know, general carelessness. You know, a couple of the passes, you know, where he tried to kind of bowling ball that one pass into Vonleh, it was lucky it got kicked. You know, I think there's still some things where he needs to focus on making simple plays, but, you know, overall, he's a guy I'd rather give the chance to develop and kind of work through some of those things and all that. So I would agree there. I think, you know, Hollowell I thought was just really bad again. No real way to sugarcoat it. Just didn't really seem into it. Thought he struggled on defense, as Williams did a little bit too. But, you know, I thought he didn't defend very well. He had a few rebounds, which were not bad. But, you know, 0 for 6 from the floor. Took another 2 threes. He hasn't, you know, he's one of his, I don't know, I'm not even going to attempt to calculate this. He's one of his last, not sure, sure I will. He's one of his last 11 now from 3. You know, you come in 1 out of 9, you know, hadn't made one since early December. I just don't, you know, and the one he was wide open and he hit the backboard on it.
Andy, can we please forever put the Christian Watford comparisons away? I mean, seriously, like,
yeah.
I mean, Jeremy Hollowell should never again be compared to Christian Watford.
I think it's time. Yeah, that's fair. I just thought he just didn't seem with it, and I actually like the fact that I think he tweeted this out from the account that, you know, it felt like it was getting time to just write it off as, look, he just doesn't, in one of those games where he just doesn't have it, and we're done. And he was for a long time, and then he puts him back in the game with 4 minutes left, and the first thing they do is dump him the ball in the post, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't playing well when he was in the flow of the game. I mean, he'd probably been sitting for a good 45 minutes of, like, actual time, you know, to come in and then get the ball and try to do something right away and either turn it over or force a shot or something that was just terrible. I continue to say he has no recognition of what he does when he has good games and what he does when he has bad games. And so you show up like this. I mean, he probably didn't even play 20 minutes. And he had 4 turnovers. I just thought, I thought he was really poor, and I question if we come back and play the same starting lineup again the next time out, what the motivation is there, because I wouldn't really mind, you know, seeing more. You know, Perea didn't set the world on fire today, but I really thought that some of those times when Fisher was in the game with Vonleh, that he really seemed to do well playing the four, and so, you know, I'd like to see a little bit more of, you know, Perea playing the five and Vonleh at the four, so maybe that's something you see in the starting lineup if you still want to bring Gordon off the bench. I do think that Williams played well enough. He needs to stay in the starting lineup. Probably just needs to get, you know, some of Hopwell's minutes and let him just try to work through it and teach some things about it, because, you know, we're not at the point where we're just planning for next year. But at this point, I have a lot more faith in the potential of Troy Williams than the potential of Jeremy Hollowell.
Yeah, and look, we like Jeremy Hollowell, but there are certain players, and, you know, if you've ever played basketball, you know, kind of coming up through high school, you know, maybe you were one or you had teammates, that there's some games you're there and there's some games you're just not into it. And I think Jeremy Hollowell, almost more than any IU player in recent memory, sometimes he's in it and he's engaged and he's playing well, and there's some games that really are just lost nights for him. And I think that's up to the coaches to recognize that. You know, he didn't look comfortable. He didn't look into the game. When he does, he can be a very productive player. And when he doesn't, he's taking minutes away from somebody that, you know, can do something positive for the team. And I think it's important, you know, you say he needs to recognize what he does when he's playing well, and I agree with you. And I also think the coaches need to recognize when he's, you know, when it's one of his nights and when it's not. And when it's not, his minutes need to go to somebody else. You know, Stan Robinson, you know, goodness, God love him. He was 0 for 3, and he can't make a free throw, but, you know, he was in there, and he was active and kind of making some things happen, you know, and they were more positive things than Jeremy Hollowell. You know, and you bring up an interesting point, because you talk about Hanner Mascara-Perea, who's another guy I wanted to get to, and you say he didn't set the world on fire. No, he didn't set the world on fire, but we don't need him to set the world on fire. We need him to do exactly what he did today. I thought Hanner played really well. He was 2 of 2 from the field, and, you know, one of his post moves looked like senior year Larry Richardson, which is definitely not an insult, because Larry Richardson probably improved more from his freshman year to his senior year than anybody in terms of post play. And by his senior year, was really comfortable getting it in there after being so awkward as a freshman. And that's what Hanner looked like when he got the ball. And he scored, got the and one. He was 2 of 3 from the free throw line. You know, he grabbed 4 boards. You know, he did have a couple of turnovers, but I thought he did a good job, you know. And he's going to be a guy now with Luke Fisher leaving that, you know, his minutes are going to get more important. So, you know, I will say, obviously, the rotation shortened some in this game, you know, both just, you know, because Luke Fisher's not there anymore and just, you know, out of necessity because of who we were playing. But goodness, the coaching staff is going to have to get a little bit more discerning with, you know, with an inconsistent team like this and with guys who, you know, there's going to be a game where Troy Williams just isn't there, you know, kind of like Hollowell was tonight. And, guy, you're right, we're not playing for next year yet. We're playing for this year. And if it's not a guy's night, you got to sit him, you know. And I think that's up to the coaching staff to recognize that. Okay, so, Andy, I know you got some things to do tonight. It is New Year's Eve. And actually, because of the overtime, we're starting to run a little bit low on our minutes here with Blog Talk Radio. So let me go to you now. If you want to keep going, obviously we can keep going for the next 25 minutes, but if you want to go with a final thought and get on with your New Year's Eve, give it now, and then I'll stay and take some calls and kind of give some general observations on this Hoosier game.
Yeah, I mean, I probably got another 10 minutes, so we can keep going a little bit. I think the one thing I'll kind of pick up on one of the points you just made was, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, reading some of the, you know, NFL coaching firing stuff, and, you know, I was reading a little bit about the Rob Chudzinski thing in Cleveland, and it was interesting. I still think it's kind of silly, and even having lived in Cleveland for a while, you never really know what the Browns are doing at any given moment. But, you know, they talked about, you know, accountability, and one of the big things that they had, you know, ownership or whoever had issues with was that he wouldn't bench somebody that they thought needed to be benched for, you know, to kind of make a display about, you know, accountability and things like that. I mean, I think that's the big thing that I want to start to see from this team. I mean, you know, Hollowell, he had 23 minutes today. He played more than Troy Williams today. He played more than Perea today. He played 3 times as much as Devin Davis, and Devin Davis had 3 rebounds in 7 minutes. So, you know, if there's no correlation between how people are playing, the decisions they're making on the court, how they're playing defense, and what their playing time is, then that's, you know, that's going to turn into a much larger problem, I think, as we go forward, because you have to be able to draw some kind of line that says, okay, this actually makes sense. It doesn't make sense for him to play more than those guys. There's got to be some level of accountability for him that says, look, if you're going to play like this, you're not going to play, or you're not going to play this number of minutes. You know, we had kind of the one game episode where it's like, oh, you're not going to start. Well, then what has really happened since then? He played really well in that game, and after that, he hasn't responded at all. So you either need to make, you know, do the same thing, or you know, pushing his buttons to know what motivates him. I'm as clueless as anybody. As you kind of watch different things like that, but there's got to be some level of that. He can't continue to play the minutes he's playing and contribute so little when there are other guys who have, you know, a similar level of ability that can give you something else. So I think that's the only thing I kind of would piggyback on from your point. So, yeah, we can go probably another 10 minutes or so.
Well, no. And to that point, I mean, who off the bench, other than Evan Gordon, obviously, has earned more minutes than Devin Davis? You know, I mean, I feel like from the start of the season to now, you know, he's been the second most consistent bench player outside of Gordon. You know, and obviously he had the injury and that slowed him. And I don't know if that has impacted his minutes recently. But, I mean, the guy just goes out there and hustles. And, yeah, I know he turns the ball over, but he gets rebounds. Like you said, 3 and 7 minutes. You know, do you expect to see more minutes from him, from Devin, going forward? Because that was one of the other surprises for me today, that we didn't see him more.
Yeah, I thought especially because Illinois is not a particularly big team. I mean, Egwu's kind of big, and they rotate those other guys, but they don't play, you know, they play that Ikey at the four, and he's like a 6'7 type guy who likes to play outside a little bit more. So, you know, it's not a game where Davis would have been, you know, physically overmatched by, you know, a bigger front line or something like that. And so I expected that as well. I actually thought he would be in some of the late-game situations playing defense and on Ravonte Rice, which, you know, Crean seemed to go with Stan Robinson there. You know, but early in the season, Davis was, you know, trying to guard Shabazz Napier and, you know, really trying, you know, they were using him as almost a late-game defensive stopper, so I was surprised that he wasn't used in that role. And I certainly can't speak to how healthy or not healthy his ankle is at this point, but I was definitely surprised in a game that was, you know, a little bit scrappy, and you just, you know, think about some of the loose balls and rebounds that IU couldn't quite come up with. You know, maybe a guy like him makes a difference. Maybe he doesn't. You know, he certainly, as you mentioned, had some issues with turnovers. I know that some of the statistics, you know, bear that out. Today he didn't, for whatever that's worth. And I think he's another guy. If you really have him hone in for this year on your role is to come in, play hard for 3 or 4 minute stretches, and rebound and play defense, and I don't care if you score a point, and just focus on those things. I mean, I think he can be effective in that kind of role. And especially, you know, he plays a little bit bigger than his size. And again, maybe a guy that you'd like to see, you know, see his minutes increase with Fisher gone. So I was definitely surprised by it and equally surprised kind of looking at it now and, you know, what he did do in the time that he was in there. I thought he at least, you know, certainly didn't do anything negative in my estimation and feels like a good complementary piece to, you know, to lineups that need to feature the main scorers on this team. Anybody who's out, you know, like, kind of like I said, if you play, you know, Yogi, Gordon, Sheehy, and Vonleh, you don't need that fifth guy to do a whole hell of a lot and, you know, play defense, rebound, and things like that. I mean, obviously you can't play those four guys 40 minutes and then just try to, you know, patch together the other 40 minutes from everybody else. But when you're on the floor, but if those guys are really going to be the core of this team going forward, which I'm of the opinion they should be, you know, Davis complements them well. He doesn't need the ball to be effective. You don't have to feed him, you know, get him shots. You don't have to do whatever. He's going to go get rebounds and play defense. And same thing with Perea. It's not like he's a guy you're going to feel obligated to, oh, I got to get him, you know, a post-up every few possessions to kind of keep him engaged in the game. That's really not how he's effective at this stage in his career. So, to me, those kinds of guys would fit really well there versus Hollowell, who, whether the coaches feel that way or not, he certainly feels like he needs to have the ball in his hands and be doing something, and he doesn't compliment those guys well at all.
Yeah. All right, well, Andy, get ready, because I'm going to ask you a really tough question here in a moment, and it can lead into your final thought if you want it to. You know, I tweeted out from our Assembly Call account just asking for questions, and some of the comments coming in from at IUBB Nation, Hollowell with 0 points, and he's starting because, ? Well, he's starting because he's a sophomore, he has some experience, and he started from the beginning of the year, and Coach Crean doesn't like to change his starting lineup. In terms of legitimate reasons, we're not sure. As Andy said earlier, you know, we'll see if he's starting the next game. You know, couple of mentions to Jeremy. You know, Hoosier Gen 96. I missed the game and haven't checked the box score. What is up with Jeremy? Such high hope. That's what we've been trying to figure out ourselves. Our buddy Kurt. I'm missing something. Did Noah Vonleh not have a two-point field goal? He did not. He had 2 3-pointers and 10 free throws, and we discussed that earlier as well. Okay, so here are a couple other comments that we got. So Grandpa underscore JJ says, how much is Crean's buyout? Which I get the frustration after a game like today. It's, you know, given everything that's happened, I still think that's a ridiculous comment. I know, you know, Coach Crean is frustrating in-game, but I think he's earned more respect than that. Then we get another question. Not calling a timeout at the end of the game was horrific. Yogi has to touch the ball sometime in that sequence. I agree Yogi has to touch the ball. I don't necessarily agree that you have to take a timeout there, but, you know, Andy, like you explained earlier, when you see that possession not going how you want it to, then maybe you take the timeout. And still, in spite of that, you know, you get a decent look from Evan Gordon. It's not a great look, but it's a decent look. All that said, let me lead into this question now with you, Andy, which is, you know, we've talked about all of these different things, right? We had all these turnovers. We shot well from three, and, you know, Hollowell didn't play well, and Yogi was great despite his turnovers. All, everything now, right? Indiana loses by three on the road in overtime to Illinois. It's a winnable road game in a season when we have to find a way to steal a few on the road. Did the coaching cost this team the 3 points, the 4 points that they would have needed to win? In your opinion?
I do. I mean, I don't – the Vonleh stuff I don't understand, having Etherington in during crucial situations late in the game, having Hollowell in during those situations based on the way he played, just didn't make sense. I didn't think the guys that played the best and played the best together played enough together when it mattered the most, and that's on the coaches. You know, I don't really know a more succinct way to say it, and it's interesting because you look at some of Crean's comments that Howard apparently wasn't 100% healthy and that Hollowell got hurt during the game. Well, unless he got hurt at the end when he came back in, I'm not sure why you put an injured guy in a tent scenario. And if Howard wasn't 100%, you know, he only won a couple minutes. But, my take is this team is going to have to live and die with Sheehy playing on the floor. He wasn't on the floor at any stretches. And you had, like I said, I felt like they were playing 3-on-5 at critical points down the stretch of the game. And you can certainly fault some of the players for the turnovers. I'm not going to say that, you know, a couple of those turnovers are different. You score a basket off one of those, it's certainly a different game. But I thought, you know, those things had already happened by then. Vonleh didn't have a fifth foul. Leave him in the game. If he fouls out, then he fouls out. But, you know, going back with, you know, bullets in the holster and figuring out how you can, you know, drag him through another few minutes of the game doesn't really help out a whole lot. And same thing with the timeout. Because eventually they used that, you know, they used one of the timeouts between free throws and Illinois shot in overtime, which didn't make any sense at all. So even if you wanted to save that for a meaningful scenario, then save it so that you have it with 2 seconds left when Rice makes that other thing and you can get things set up. Not that the last play wasn't actually fairly well conceived by the time it worked, but, you know, do you have an extra minute to make sure everybody knows what they're doing? Use it then instead of between timeouts. So I thought there were enough little things and enough lineup questions for me that I would put it on the coaches. I think that good coaching could have even overcome some of the turnovers. So players aren't without blame. It isn't all on the coaches. I'm not assembling a fundraiser to get Crean's buyout, but I did not think they did a very good job at all today kind of managing the overall flow of the game, particularly when it mattered the most at the end.
Well, you know, if we fired Crean today, Brad Stevens would leave Boston and come to Bloomington, right?
Well, obviously. Everybody knows that.
Okay, Andy, let's go to final thoughts. And real quick, we'll actually let Ryan start out. He texted me. He's doing his physical therapy for his herniated disc in his back right now. Young team on the road, plus 23 turnovers equals loss. Didn't even get to watch most of it, and I could have told you that. When you make bad decisions and turn it over 23 times, there's only so much coaches and players can do. You know, really not a horrible summation of the game, because, I mean, you look at what Indiana did, and let's say they turned the ball over 17 times and those 6 possessions turned into 6 shots. You know, maybe Indiana makes up that 3-point difference. Again, the game this close, there's a lot of reasons why you lose. I think if Ryan had been here, you know, I feel like he would have been pretty positive about this performance. This seems like the kind of game that, you know, that would have gotten him, you know, obviously you want to win, but I think he probably would have been the most positive about this game. So it'll be interesting to, you know, to talk to him about it later. But that's it. Let's go to final thoughts. Andy, you give yours and I'll give mine.
Yeah, I think the big question for me now becomes what happens next. In the same way that, you know, we've seen some of these small errors turn to a series of errors over the course of the game, we now are in the stretch of the Big Ten where, you know, you try to overcome some of your issues and you play a tough game and lose a heartbreaker. Now you come home and play Michigan State on Saturday, who is coming back against Penn State right now, but is, you know, was down, you know, 7, maybe 9 points at the half against Penn State. Then you go to that same Penn State team who's playing really well at home right now, was pressing a lot against Michigan State, which should scare the bejesus out of anyone given the turnover issues that IU's had. Then you come home to play Wisconsin. And there, so for whatever chatter there is about, you know, Crean's future and this team and everything else, if people think that's loud now, 0-4, which is a distinct possibility, it would be deafening. And so I don't know that this team's shown quite enough to be able to handle that and deal with that based on what we've seen so far. And they're going to hear some of that, whether it's, you know, fair or not to kind of drag some of them in the middle of it. You're going to have some of that. You got a guy, you know, transferring in the middle of the season, which we really didn't have a ton of time to talk about and probably will a little bit more going forward, I'm sure. You kind of have that. It's, you know, the distractions and the non-basketball things are going to start to add up for this team if they can't right the ship pretty quickly. So I think these next two games are pretty critical because they got to find a way to win at least one of them, and I'm not sure either one of them feels like a winnable game at this point. At least when you look at how the teams they're playing have played and how IU's played in comparison. So not saying I don't think they can right the ship, but it's an uphill battle at this point. And I think that losing a game that they could have won is going to really hurt even more when you look back at the end of the season and you start to, you know, piece some things together where, you know, it was a game that was imminently winnable and they found a way to lose it. So I think big spot for how the team reacts. They've obviously reacted well to earlier losses this season, but those earlier losses were followed up against teams that stink, quite honestly. So it's easy to come back when you're going home to play Evansville or you're going home to play North Florida or you're going home to play Nicholls State. It's not going to be as easy to bounce back and get that confidence when you got Michigan State coming into town on Saturday. So, again, I'm real interested to see how things go from here. Definitely not disappointed to lose, more disappointed in the way that it shook out. Because if you told me at the beginning of the day, if I kind of knew what Ryan knew when he texted that and just said, you're going to lose by 3 in overtime and have 23 turnovers, and that was almost all that I knew about the game, I'd be like, that doesn't seem too 23 turnovers would suck, obviously. But, you know, you wouldn't necessarily, if you got those tidbits of the game out of the context of the rest of it, I probably wouldn't feel terrible, but you kind of watch how the game unfolded and some of the other things that we talked about. It definitely makes it a little bit tougher to swallow. So I'll leave it at that. I hope everybody has a happy and safe New Year's, and we'll be back over the weekend to talk about that. I'll tune in later for your final thought and see if you can bring us home with a positive thought as you typically do. So
damn it, Andy,
certainly a big responsibility
for you
today.
You are going to listen to this before you leave. I was so ready to just, you know, have a positive final thought and go on and enjoy my New Year's and not look at our future schedule. And you just reminded me of the murderer's row that we have coming up. And damn it, now I'm struggling to find the positives in this. You know, look, so right now there's two thoughts running through my head, okay? Number one is just kind of the reverberation of what Andy just said, which is, holy crap, we're playing Michigan State on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Yes, we'll be here after the game. And then we go at Penn State, which is better than perhaps we thought, and then Wisconsin, which, I mean, you know, yes, it's at home, but until Tom Crean beats Bo Ryan, you know, we're certainly not going to assume that Tom Crean is going to beat the best Bo Ryan team we've seen in a while. So you're right. There is a distinct possibility of this team sitting at 0-4. And so, you know, while you can take some positives away from this loss kind of isolated, you know, just looking at it as a one-day thing, you know, when you look at it within the context of the murderer's row this team has coming up and what it could mean when we sit here on January 14th, it makes this loss, and like you said, the way it happened, because this was a winnable game for Indiana, and it's the kind of game that, you know, if we are going to be have a successful season, compete for NCAA tournament, that, this is the kind of game we needed to win, you know, and damn it, Andy, now I feel worse about losing it than I did coming into it, but you're right. You know, you're absolutely right, because the Big Ten is very competitive, and these are games that we need to win. And it's not to say that we can't beat Michigan State, can't win at Penn State. You know, maybe this team surprises us and is at 2-2, but, you know, there is a very tough road coming up that could make this loss feel a lot worse. You know, you can look at it with some positives right now today because, you know, the team, I think, played better in some respects than you would have thought they would, worse than some others. But, you know, man, it looks a little bit scarier when you look at you know, what this team has coming up in January. And when you remember that, you know, before Cody Zeller arrived and before Victor Oladipo turned into a superstar, you know, this was a program that folded every February for three straight years. I mean, we had really bad Februaries. And, you know, with some of those outside distractions that are going to come in, the team needs to rebound from this quickly, I guess is the point. There is no time for a slow turnaround or for a lack of confidence or for a lull, any of that. This team has got to figure out a way to win some games in January quickly, which is going to lead into my final point, which is going to be positive, because there were some positives to take out of tonight, and it's New Year's Eve, dadgummit, so we're going to be positive. And that is, you know, to all Hoosier fans, I will just say, and I tweeted this out earlier, this is going to be a long season. It's going to be a roller coaster. It's going to be fun. It's going to be frustrating. It's going to make you stand up and cheer. It's going to make you pound your fists on the table. It's going to make you want to drink. It's going to make you want to do all these things, because this team and, you know, this coach is frustrating sometimes. So make sure that you enjoy the good times. You know, there's going to be some ups and downs. So when we're up, enjoy it. You know, because there were some stretches, you know, today and you know, it felt like even when Indiana was up by seven that there was, at least from some people that were tweeting me, there was a sense of foreboding. And look, you know, I know you're frustrated with Coach Crean. He won a Big Ten championship last year. You know, he's done some really good things. So let's keep the faith. Let's support the guys. Let's enjoy the good times that these guys are going to put out there on the court. You know, and just kind of as a fan base, as a collective Hoosier Nation, let's help carry him through some of the downtimes. Because I do think, you know, I think this is a game – not too many of us expected to win, and we lost. Okay. I still think this is a team that is going to win a few games in the Big Ten season that we don't expect them to, and they're going to lose a few that we don't expect them to. You know, this game kind of goes in line with what I thought was going to happen. So let's chalk it up to that. Let's, you know, and maybe one of those games that we don't expect to win at home against Michigan State and at home against Wisconsin, hey, Assembly Hall, it's a powerful place. We've upset people there before. Let's do it now and use those as wins, you know, one of them, both of them, who knows? You know, we're still Indiana. We have to expect to win at home. Let's use those wins to catapult us, you know, to a better Big Ten season than maybe we expect we're going to have. All right, that's all I've got for today. Indiana loses 83-80. I think this game may be a nutshell of the season. You know, a lot to get excited about, a lot to be frustrated about, a close game, an exciting game. Unfortunately, it ends in a loss. We may have a lot of these. It's going to be that kind of season. I thank you to everybody who has listened to us or who listens to the recorded version. If you're listening right now, make sure you have a safe New Year's Eve. Have a fun New Year's Eve. And we will be back after the Michigan State game. That game is January 4th. Starts at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock Central. As soon as it ends, hopefully with an upset IU victory, we will be right here with another episode of the Assembly Call to break it down. Thank you to Andy Bottoms for hanging out today. Ryan, get better, man. I hope your back improves. And to everybody else out there, again, have a safe New Year's. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon, everybody. We'll be right back.
Oh, my God.